Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care.
Merkle Media.
I guess it's time to go back in time.
Are you telling me you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Time is but a stubborn illusion.
I have a lot of memories of the past.
People are time traveling within themselves.
Time travel is possible.
Merkle Media.
Are we living in Stranger Things? How real is Stranger Things?
In my humble opinion, I think Stranger Things is a scaled back version.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw 3 long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are 2 small, gray entities pulling at me, and they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Okay, I'll reload it!
Yeah. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is theconfessionals@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's theconfessionals@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me. If you want more shows on a weekly basis, hit theconfessionalspodcast.com. That little join button in the upper right-hand corner is there for your pleasure. Hit join, become a member, and you can get access to every Thursday's member episode, the Tuesday shows ad-free, and the overtime shows like we had last week. All that's waiting for you as a member. So if you are interested in more of The Confessionals in your life, hit up theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today. All right, friends, listen, we have Dave Zed coming on the show today from Generation Zed Podcast. I first met him a few months back on the Union of the Unwanted podcast, where they had a panel. We were talking UFOs, and he was just dropping knowledge more than I had seen in a very long time. And so when I wanted to do a show about CERN, I was thinking, you know what? That guy dropped so much knowledge that he might know something about CERN. Boy, did he ever. This guy is like a savant on anything that we talk about on this show. I promise you guys, you're going to really enjoy this conversation with Dave. So let's get to Dave right now. All right, today we got Dave Zed on the show. Dave, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you so very much for having me. And let me just say that I am a huge fan of your show and what you discuss, mainly because I want to say with the utmost respect, I think that your show is one of the few that really finds a way to merge the anomalous, what's called anomalous high strangeness, with the paranormal. And if I could just say right off the bat, I'm of the humble perspective currently that what we call paranormal activity, poltergeist activity, ESP, extrasensory perception, and not just the UAP, UFO topic, but the entire apparatus of what we're living in called reality are literally one and the same. So thank you so much for even reaching out a few weeks ago as you did. And I'm truly very honored to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And like I said before we started recording, I'll send you the check in the mail to say the nice things about me. I really do appreciate you following through on our agreement. So, you mentioned that I contacted you a few weeks ago. So the audience knows, I stumbled across your Instagram, and then a few days later, you and I are both on the Union of the Unwanted show that's hosted by four different podcasters, and a fantastic show. People should check it out.
Great guys.
Yeah. But I forget what we were talking about. I guess the topic was, it was the hearings about the UAPs and the UFOs and stuff. And I came on and I was like, you know, I always, when I come to a group show like that, I just kind of hover in the background to begin with. It's just my style. Like, it's like, I'm like that at parties. Like, I walk into a room and you're going to find, like, if you want to find me, you're going to look in the corner of the room because I'm just like observing, you know, like it takes me like an hour or two to kind of ease up and calm down and just be like, okay, all right, it's time to relax a little bit. And so that's what I do on these group shows. And so I'm just kind of listening and stuff. And you and a couple of other guys were just going off. And I was like, these guys are saying things that I don't even understand. So I'm just here to listen. Like, I was really impressed by a lot of the guys. Sean Stone, I think, was there. And he told me he'd come on the show. And I got to talk to him about that. I got to reach out to him. And I recently, in the last 2 weeks, just started recording again in the new studio. I reached out to you because we were talking about the UAPs, UFOs. You say UAPs. I always say UFOs. I'm like very anti UAP terminology just because I'm like, it's a hijacked term. I reached out to you on just like a whim and you said, yeah, I'll come on. And what I reached out to you about was CERN. And I really wasn't sure if you really had things to say about that, but you just struck me as a guy that just knew a lot about a lot. And so I was like, let me just reach out to him. And it kind of, this whole thing is spawned. Now the audience needs to understand that I've talked about CERN over the years, but it's been a long, long time. I've maybe mentioned it here and there throughout episodes as just a, you know, oh yeah, CERN has Shiva, you know, or something like that. But I'm going to have the list here. Episode 57, I did CERN. I just called it CERN with Gary Wayne. And we did a CERN episode. That's years ago. And then recently for episode 458, I did Georgia Guidestone, CERN, and MIB, which was really a general just sit-down conversation I did with my friend and just kind of went everywhere. So this is actually right. The very first episode I'm doing on CERN that's for CERN and of that kind of topic. And I want to give this guy a shout-out. His name is Junior Alvarez. And I posted on Instagram or on my Twitter, and I took a screenshot and posted it on the Instagram at polling people, asking them what they wanted a certain show on and stuff. And CERN was in there, and he's like, I think he said something like, "What is a CERN?" or something like that. And I was like, you're getting CERN now, because my friend, you need to know what CERN is.
right. To Mr. Alvarez, I don't mean to be laughing at you, sir. It's just, again, it's actually, I would dare to argue it's probably better these days that we don't know what CERN is. It speaks to that whole, you know, blissful ignorance concept. But yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And it was such an innocent question. Because you've seen it on social media, you get trolls and stuff, and you know, they say things that are tongue in cheek. But this was just like, hey, CERN sounds interesting, but what is it? And I'm just like, for you, you just spawned an entire episode, because if you don't know what CERN is, there's other people like you and people need to know. And because I think that CERN actually is something that has a big reason as to why the world is the way it is today. And so I wanted to have somebody on, and I've reached out to you and you said you'd come on. So thank you very much for that. And with that said, Dave, what is a CERN?
Well, first off, let me just say to yourself, Tony, as you know, because we spoke before we recorded, but more so to your audience specifically, that what we do here, my name is Dave Zed. I'm the creator and host of the Generation Zed podcast, ZED, on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And what we do is basically, we don't claim to pursue any particular path in specific pertaining to who's right versus who's wrong, but rather what we do is we try and find a way to take all of the metaphorical slices of that metaphorical pie or pizza and bring it all together in a way that it not necessarily reinforces people's confirmation bias, but more so provides an integrated system of sorts. And the reason I bring that up is because this speaks to the whole concept of the paranormal and CERN. And so before I delve into CERN specifically, one thing I would like to say, if I may, and I think this will resonate quite avidly with your audience, Tony, is that when we look, for example, at what's called the paranormal, forgive me for splicing hairs here, but let's take a look at that word for a second. Para means unknown or something, you know, phenomenological, normal. So it's not normal. That's essentially the word paranormal. Now, when we look at the concept of things like, let's say, the quote unquote nuts and bolts science, as people say, people are always saying, where is that merging point between the paranormal or the woo, as they call it, whether it's UFO or high strangeness, skinwalker, you name it, and the academic community, the scientific community? Where's the merging point? Now, if we dismiss the stigmatization and the dogma and all of that, you will find within academic peer-reviewed papers, and you will find certain individuals within the academic community of STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, that if you go to the right people, you will have a very interesting conversation about UFOs, paranormal, you name it. Because what I have personally found is that, let's take a look at something like this for a moment. When people say, oh, I saw something with the corner of my eye, or I saw my, unfortunately deceased lover, and they appeared in a sort of we call it a spiritual form because we have no other way to liken it to. But I would say, and I could be very wrong, but I would say currently, at least on our show, particularly on our Patreon, we're pursuing the concept of plasma being this type of medium or gaseous state that allows for the quote unquote paranormal realms or worlds to merge into what we call the quote unquote nuts and bolts physical. And the reason I bring that up is, let's use a very simple example. Carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, that for some, you know, this speaks to the propagandization of the labeling of stigmatization and verbiage. If you say there's carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide in the garage, say you say that to your wife, your husband, honey, open the garage, you know, let it cool out, let it air out, all that kind of stuff, because maybe the car was on for too long. That's accepted like it's nothing. But the second someone says, well, I had a smell of a deceased family member, and I saw them, and they kind of look like the similar form of carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, we then immediately, everyone goes, no, that's a figment of your imagination. So it's like, hold on a second. We look at the academic literature and the scientific community, and we find, up until very recently, there was little to nothing on things like ball lightning, plasma, all of that. We then have, for example, Salvatore Paez, who's known more commonly as, if you type in on Google, the UFO Navy patent guy. And he recently went on a show and he talked about how he said he cannot, obviously for, you know, national security reasons and all of this, he cannot say how the craft operates. But what he said was, these were based on allegedly leaked patents that the Navy then retracted. He said, you cannot achieve these types of, you could say densities or succession of what we call anti-gravity with solids, but you can with plasmas. Now, one thing I find quite peculiar is that when you look at a black hole or a wormhole in a particular, radar filter, what you'll find is that you see what look like white spiraling cones coming from all over outside of the wormhole, the black hole, you name it. And I'm leading up to CERN, you'll see in a moment. This then speaks to the concept of a spiral. If you look at ancient Sumer, ancient Mesopotamia, ancient Egypt, the Egyptians would say Father Time fears the pyramids, because it seems as though you look, for example, at ancient Mesopotamia, you look at the Vatican today, there's the pine cones, constantly with the pine cones. There's people say that that's an interpretation or a representation of some type of ideological, symbolism or meaning. Who am I to say that's wrong? It could very well be. However, one thing I've noticed is that if you look at the schematics of the way in which CERN was built in Switzerland, which is also directly over top of an alleged what we call ley line, there seems to be an identical, construction-based apparatus or paradigm, or you could say blueprint rather, that was sort of copied from the reality or archetype of the world we live in. Now, what is CERN in layman's terms? They claim they're smashing particles together very quickly, having to do with light and sound, photons and phonons and all of this, and the oscillations and vibrations of sound and light to be able to discover new particles. I'm going to be very blunt with you. In my humble perspective, I think it's like many other people. I think it's a stargate, largely because of the scientific and academic literature that I've been reading into that is there in the public domain, but it's not addressed within certain aspects of, say, for example, the military industrial complex, the military media complex, you name it. So this speaks to the concept of, well, if you can't disprove something because it's true, but we don't want to tell the masses about what we're really doing, just attack it or dismiss it. And so CERN is essentially on the surface, they claim, the Large Hadron Collider. They're smashing particles together very quickly. Now, I then think of something like this to speak to your audience, Tony. Einstein said, nothing can go faster than the speed of light. I don't think he's exactly wrong, but I think nothing physical can go fast. Nothing dense can go faster than the speed of light. But I think we can, our soul can. Now, what do you mean by our soul? The chi, the prana, the whatever you want to call it. I don't claim to have a solidified dead on answer of that. But it's sort of like I gave this example in a Twitter Spaces room that I was doing yesterday evening. And think of you are born in a car, for example, and someone's painted over the door handles of that car to give the illusion that you can never get out of the car. Shitty example, but let's roll with it. The second you're born in the car, and your whole life you're driving around in that car and you don't know that you can leave it. You want to approach, you drive up to a McDonald's drive-thru one day and you realize that your car is too wide to fit through the drive-thru. Right. But then you realize, hold on a second, let me reach for where the handle would normally be, because someone's given the illusion to pretend that you can never leave that car. And you realize, hold on, it looks like there's no handle here, but when I touch it, there is. And then you realize that you can get out of the car. And then once you get out of the car, you realize that you are small enough to fit through that McDonald's drive-through by walking through it. I think in this example, the car is our physical body. The soul, the chi, the prana is us leaving the car. If that makes sense. And so forgive me for jumping all over the place, but I think what we're seeing here with CERN, when you look at the blueprints, is of the way in which the structure is occurring underground. We're seeing a pine cone type spiral blueprint schematic, which is in the public domain within OSINT, as it's called, open source intelligence, if you will, that shows the way in which it's built. Now, there's something called in the scientific community called the Aronoff-Bohm effect, where when you run a neutrino beam through a closed state of temperature or, a confined state of whatever you're looking to induce electromagnetically or otherwise, you'll find that there's a way to sort of stabilize this type of, phenomenon by running a neutrino beam through the center. What's interesting is this. It's been claimed publicly that neutrinos exist, but they're not strong enough to carry information. This is where I think your audience and yourself, Tony, will resonate. I think we can, our intent can. There are now papers coming out in the academic literature, for example, one by Ezio Gagliardi and Gina Mondini called DNA Modification Through Remote Intent. Now, the question then becomes, what's the difference between that telekinesis, what Ingo Swann and Dr. Hal Pudoff did in the 70s, being able to fluctuate the temperature on the other end of the room when you were inside a Faraday cage? It's just, in my humble opinion, it's the alteration of verbiage to attempt to give a different, visual depiction to the people when it's really the same thing overall. I think what CERN is doing is that, but on a much larger scale relative to that of the planet. the same way that it's been hypothesized that psychotronics are conducted on the average, you know, everyday American, for example. I think what CERN is doing is, dare I say, I say this very carefully, but a larger aspect of extrasensory psychotronic influence over the planet, essentially, if that makes sense. And I think what we're seeing is a movement of, and I want to be clear to your audience. I'm just like yourself when I hear people say quantum consciousness, the hell does that mean? Right. Because right. Everyone throws these words straight. Let's be straight up here. Everyone throws these fucking words around. We don't know what's going on. Like, we don't know. Everyone says, oh, you know, the quantization of the quantum particles and the conscious. Okay. Well, let's zoom in a little bit. So, well, for example, when we look at numbers and shapes and all of this, we have single, double, triple, and then quadruple, quad. There's the QUA. From an etymological perspective, I take quantum as that, completing the four, you could say, corners of that square. And I think that speaks to the ancients talking about, squaring the circle. I think this speaks to the alleged worship of Saturn, the planet of Saturn, which, by the way, there is academic literature from a frequential point in time that would be able to substantiate that, again, remote intent towards a particular focus or target that each human is individually in a sovereign sense focusing on, does in fact emit bioresonant frequencies that just so happen to travel in a more narrow fashion towards what you're focusing on. I think CERN is that, except on a much larger scale. And I think what we see, those dances, those rituals before the Large Hadron Collider's turned on, the Shiva the Destroyer, that symbol being there, I think that is a form of what's called in the physics or, you know, mathematics community, postulating an axiom via that of partial derivatives within, you could say, within certain bidirectional infolding. And now let me sum that up in layman's terms, because I'm not trying to get all with the big words and stuff. Essentially, when someone says postulating an axiom, it's basically saying we start here. That's all that basically means. And the reason I want to bring this up, brothers, because I think we've gone on far too long as a society, and me being guilty of this as well, feeling that these people on Wall Street, these people in the scientific community, these people here or there, only they can do what they do. Let them do, you know, let's go to our jobs. Let them do what they do. You see what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, I would say that it's the complete opposite. We need as many people working together, collaborating as possible. That has been a form of, you could say, propagandization to butcher, like a pizza, the academic field. You have, you know, say you're an engineer and I'm a physicist, for example. You're an engineer, Tony, stay in your lane. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm a physicist. You see what I'm saying? And then that devolves into human ego. And I think that devolvement of arguing deepens the matrix. And the matrix, I use that loosely. You could say, you know, the reality we're in, the simulation, whatever you want to call it. I think ultimately that is what CERN harnesses. Arguments, intent, thoughts, thought forms, what's called, you know, egregores, neurological form constants. I think CERN is a multi-pronged tool, if you will. And I, just like any other tool, I don't think it is good nor bad. I think it's who's behind the control room and which way they lean it. So that's my two cents on CERN. Forgive me for the rambling. And I want to, again, thank your audience for sticking through that. But hopefully that's a little bit of a different perspective on what's going on there. People say CERN is opening up portals, stargates. I would agree with that relative to everything I just described, and maybe more, maybe less. Maybe I'm off a bit. Maybe I'm totally on the money. I don't know. But that's my take.
So then with what you just described with the thoughts, do you think that then has, because I mean, I haven't really even talked about this a whole lot over the years, because I think there's so much, like, there's so much wishy-washy with it that you really yes. can't peg it down. But with the thoughts and CERN, what does that have in your mind, have a correlation to this idea of the Mandela effect then, with what people are experiencing globally and these different memories people are having? Is CERN yep. kind of like
okay? Yes, absolutely. Now, I thank you for asking that, brother, because now I'm going to do something. I'm going to say something that I say in good faith, but I also respectfully would like anyone to attempt to debunk or disprove what I'm about to say here. And I want to be clear. I didn't think of this, come up with it first. Everywhere you look is a right angle. everywhere somebody looks is a right angle. Now, why do I say that? What does that have to do with CERN and the Mandela effect? Well, if we go back to the 1800s, what we'll find in mathematics, particularly Hendrik Lorentz, this is named after the Lorentz 90 degree right angle vector states that are used in mathematics, right? And in physics and engineering and all of this. The vector state, the 90 degree right angle, is what makes up everything all around us. This speaks to then the concept of simulation theory. Wherever you look, it only loads up wherever you look based on your, again, that concept of the 90 degree right angle and sort of like loading up a part of the, you know, the video game and the environment. The reason I bring this up is because I think relative to what we call the ley lines, not the Nazca lines, but the ley lines. And it's been also debated, which I don't disagree with, that there's been attempts to, you know, bullshit and lie by certain government bodies to disseminate info on the internet about where the ley lines are versus where they aren't. And, you know, to try and fool people so they don't really go to the actual ones. Point being is that relative to the ley lines of the planet, the alleged natural ones, I think that speaks to what's called Riemannian manifolds, Riemannian geometry, which is non-Euclidean, which means not straight. That's all that simply means, which is elliptic, hyperbolic, all of that. And I think what we're seeing there is the Mandela effect relative to the way in which we observe and understand standard modeling in algebra and physics as 90 degree right angles. I think what we're seeing there is the remnants of some type of enablement in an esoteric sense coming from CERN and then disseminating onto the planet. And the tips of those right angles are the ley lines. And so it's kind of like forgive me for not giving as good of a depiction as I have in my head visually, but every time we could say a stargate, a portal, whatever you want to call it, is opened, enabled, or as they say publicly, particles are smashed together, I think what we're seeing is a dissemination or a ripple effect within the 90 degree right angle vector to different parts of the planet. So when someone leaves their house in the morning, they, you know, they see someone walking their dog, they blink, they look down, they check their phone, you know, sip their coffee, they look up again. They just saw that same person walk their dog in that same motion. Meanwhile, that person should really be, you know, half a kilometer down. And it's like, what the hell? I just saw that happen again. So like, I think what we're seeing there is that of which is an optical and a frequential influence. And I if I could say one last thing, with respects to cutting through the crap in terms of CERN, the esoteric, the paranormal, all of that. People say, well, how come now we're waking up, you know, or people are noticing more now, even the average person, whether it's seeing certain interesting things in the sky and all that kind of stuff. Well, people say, oh, well, don't you know, Dave, Tony, it's the age of Aquarius. You know, it's the age of Aquarius. Everybody wakes up. Well, to your point, Tony, what does that mean? What is that? You know what I'm saying? What does that really mean?
Right.
So my whole thing essentially is, okay, let's look, for example, at what seems to be the quote unquote, you know, not so much unknown history, but, you know, sort of pushed to the side, quote unquote, high strangeness history, if you will, which I think actually should be more of a normal than anything than the other way around. But what you see there is the zodiac wheel has always been time and time again from an astrotheological perspective. And we have someone on our Patreon as well that comes on and does a beautiful job of that. From an astrotheological perspective, the zodiac wheel, regardless of where on the planet and regardless of when and who and all this, seem to be followed, pertaining to you need to follow the processions of the equinox and all of this in order to know when to harvest, when to plant, when to bunker down for, you know, some cold that's coming. Well, I think what we're seeing with respects to CERN is sort of a double-edged sword. If there are malevolent beings or forces, human or otherwise, behind CERN, not just guarding, but guiding the direction in which the Large Hadron Collider is going in terms of affecting consciousness, opening portals, all of that. I think as like the Hermetic principles say, as above, so below. By definition, if there is bad, there has to be good. And if there is good, there has to be bad by definition. There's no other way to, you need a focal point to compare something to. It's like if I, you know, say, for example, Tony, you just say you made me in a laboratory and you just threw me into a party, someone's house party. How do I know I'm having a good time if I've never had a bad one? There's nothing to compare it to. You see what I'm saying? There's no pillar to go, hold on a second. This is, I know this is good, or this is more, you know, we could say, more pleasureful because I've been in a shitty situation before. Like, it's like trying to explain water to a baby who's never seen water, let alone know what the color blue looks like. How do you explain it? Well, it's blue. Okay. You see what I'm saying? Well, yeah. What does that mean? Oh, come on, bro. You haven't seen blue before? See, that's the farthest it goes. And so what I'm saying here is that when people talk about the age of Aquarius and the zodiac and all of this, I think what we're seeing there is very similar. And I brought this up on the Twitter spaces last night. Very similar to, say, you live in New York, let's say, and you live in an apartment, and New York, hot summers, cold winters, the whole thing. You got your door, your window open in your apartment in New York, and it's freezing cold. It's Christmas time, all that. You hop into bed at night, you leave the window cracked open, so you feel the cold. Why one would do that, I don't know, but let's run with that example. You have one blanket over your bed when you go to sleep. Are you going to feel the cold coming in from that window, the breeze, when more prominently, if you have one blanket on, or if you have five layers of blankets on? You're going to feel it if you just have one on. I liken those blankets to frequencies that are being disseminated onto the planet in what's called the age of Aquarius. The frequencies have lightened in their densification, if that makes sense. And I think, again, for those that are more nuts and bolts and are like, well, this may be nonsense, I would say take a look at the academic literature pertaining to CERN and how they correlate this with lasers. It's at this point, again, I don't mean to get all woo or overly over the top here, but we then have to ask ourselves, what is physical? What does that even mean? Forget real. There's a difference. What is, so for example, my bracelet here, right? I can hold this. I can feel it. It's interactable. Well, let's go back to our example of carbon monoxide, dioxide, even plasma. How come when I see someone who's been deceased and they're interacting with me, I don't, for example, how come I would have a dream of them touching me, or, you know, let's say sitting on my lap, for example, and then I wake up the next morning and my right thigh is sore, almost as if someone was actually sitting there, but they seem, from my experience, they were too light to in weight to be able to effectuate an actual feeling as if they were on my leg. And so I think what we're seeing there, Tony, is we're seeing the emergence of what we call physical objects with that of what we call plasma, pertaining specifically to, because if you look up publicly on the internet what plasma is, they won't say. It's a gas, I don't know, you know, this and that. We don't know. As a matter of fact, you look up the meaning of energy. If you really look at the problem, we don't really know what energy is either. But point being is that ultimately, I think what we're seeing is things that we call nuts and bolts and physical are just densified vibratory elements moving much faster in a confined space to then send a bioreceptive feedback to our nervous system relative to our five senses and observables that then let our brain know, oh, you're touching something, you're holding something. But in reality, that should not be the case. And I think CERN is amplifying that feeling. For better or worse is not for me to say, but I think that's what's happening there. And then again, going back to the paranormal angle of things, well, I think that's why plasma has been and ball lightning and things like this have been so, I don't want to say ridiculed, but dismissed, ignored, not funded within the scientific community. You look at the funding comes from the same set, you know, three, four bodies of, you know, academia. So make of that as you will too. But again, sorry for the rambling, but just to try and cover all of the different aspects of the Mandela effect, the, you know, zodiac, age of Aquarius, trying to put more meaning behind that is what we're trying to do here. And I could be dead wrong. I could, you know, I'm very open to someone coming in going, Dave, I think you're wrong about this, this and that. Genuinely, in a good faith manner, I say, okay, what do you think? Genuinely, can we work together in a way to integrate this? Am I dead wrong? Do I have certain parts? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way forward, because at least my personal research has found that there's no difference between what we call paranormal and UAP, Bigfoot, you name it.
No, I agree. I think that I think traditionally people have wanted to compartmentalize a lot of this stuff. When I started this podcast, one of my inward goals that I had that I really didn't want at the time I didn't talk a whole lot about, but it's just how I felt about things. I was thinking, I think a lot of this stuff is much more related to each other than we give it credit for. And so when it comes to like these creatures people seeing, where are they coming from? How do they exist? Because I mean, for a long time, Bigfoot was just a very physical creature. People didn't talk about the wooey type stuff with it. But now, like at least recently, as far as I can remember, it's becoming much more accepted. And I think it's because we're learning and understanding how weird the world really is around us, and if people are coming to new understandings where they're like, well, if this is true over here, then I probably need to reassess how I view this over here, because it can't be polar opposites anymore.
To your point, I also want to say as well, for me, it's not so much the absence of evidence as nearly as much as it is the evidence of deliberate absence. Why do I say that? Well, Bigfoot is seen very close to many military bases, particularly United States ones situated all over the planet.
Yep.
Aren't there craft coming and going on those same bases, UFO craft? Why is there no attempted correlation to be made, if any? We also have to be willing to say we can put years into research and turn up with nothing, because sometimes there truly is nothing there. But we have to, I think, everything, to quote Dr. Hal Pudoff, everything should be on the table until there's enough data to take them off the table. Mm. Because it's this concept of, again, we're being put within a system. I forgive me, I don't mean to fear monger and jump over this whole we're stuck and all this kind of stuff.
No, but people are used to me doing it.
Pertaining to the currency system, for example, let's look at a second at money. This concept of intent, of whatever you put your focus to, you know, when people say I'm setting my intent, well, okay, you're personally, as a sovereign human being, you know, person, spirit, whatever you want, a soul, you know, mind, whatever, it's very simple. You're choosing something to focus on. It's as simple as that. That's setting an intent. I think what we're seeing there, relative to the way in which people look around and go, okay, I saw this, or I experienced it, whatever that means, to whatever extent, why is it that it's not being followed up on? Okay, so when it comes to money, we're being told by who? The military-industrial complex, the military-media complex. Notice it's not one individual jamming it into your head. It's an apparatus or a system that cannot be pointed to one particular individual. So none of us can go, oh, look, it's that guy or that girl, you know, that's behind all of this. We're being told to use intent to give value to a currency that is purely made up of our imagination. The value is imaginative. It's where, you know, this, if enough people believe in it, this bracelet could be worth $1 billion within 2 minutes. Why? Because enough people believe in it. So we're being told to use our intent to give value to something that we're then being told, if we think outside of giving value to money and we think, can we give value to something else, is just a figment of our imagination. You see what I'm saying? It's whoever set this system up, I got to applaud him. Piece of shit, but genius. Because my God, like, holy crap. You're telling us to basically give intent and focus on the same thing that anything you think outside of other than money is nonsense. When people say, oh, it's just a figment of your imagination. Well, imagination is another word for intent. And do we not give intent to currency? So again, this speaks to, in my opinion, rituals. This speaks to what extent a ritual is good or bad. I think it depends on, again, a ritual is a tool. It depends on how you lean it. So when people talk about, for example, we've been exploring on our Patreon lately, when Mr. Sean Stone interviewed Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino back in 2016 or 17, he said, Mr. Aquino, when you do these rituals at your Temple of Set and you manifest these beings or manifest whatever you manifest, are they like, is it like in the movies? You know, they come up from the sigils and they're beings. What is it like, you know, the recent Spider-Man movie, Tobey Maguire walks through the portal? Like, what's going on here? And Mr. Aquino says, well, not exactly like that. I don't think Mr. Aquino was lying per se. I think this speaks to the concept of egregores, neurological form constants, and the Gnostic, you know, demiurge, archon angle, where you are manifesting via your intent an idea that is then disseminated into society. Now, what would those ideas be? Notice that when someone's in line whether it's, you know, on a female side, Victoria's Secret for that new bra or that new lingerie, or on the, you know, for on a technological side, people are lining up for that new Apple phone, that new iPhone, right? The pursuit of the product is more important or more significant and valuable to you than the actual product itself. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the experience leading up to it. It's, and this also speaks to the joy is in the journey in a philosophical sense. We now have computer scientists in academia going out on a limb. I got to give credit to them saying that, because some of them are being attacked for saying this, that if you have an energy node and then you have a frequency string or a transition state from one node to another or modality to another, some have argued in their opinion, the transition state or the frequency string from one node to another is more significant than the node or modality it's going to be landing at or going to. That again speaks to the joy is in the journey, the caduceus, if you will, in all of the ancient cultures, the staff is, or the caduceus is life. Life never stops moving, if you see what I'm saying. Yeah. And I think when you consider that, and then you merge the paranormal, the Bigfoot angles, at least in my view, which I could be very wrong, but by definition, it's one big pizza, brother, or pie, metaphorically. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, so that's just me. That's when I look at it, it's like someone came and took what we call life, representative of a metaphorical pizza, sliced it up, threw the slices all over the room, and set up a system so that we can never put the slices back together in a way where everything fits. And I think that's what CERN is enforcing. But I could be wrong.
Ah, you're driving me up the wall. Listen, all right. So first of all, joy in the journey. 100% agree with that. And just for a practical example of that, building media, building content for me is the joy of the journey. I don't ever want to arrive as the podcaster because I have too much fun building. It's the journey that I enjoy. If I ever get to the point where I arrived, you're going to see me starting a brand new project, which I am. I'm starting brand new projects. So take it as what you want, but I like keeping my hands busy. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Well, no, I apologize. To your point, I'll use myself as an example. Back in 2012, when the iPhone 5 came out, I was one of those people in line at the Apple store in, you know, Toronto, Canada, really excited. And then when I got it, and I'm sure this doesn't apply to everybody, but when I got the product, it was, you know, it was great and everything. But here's what's interesting. Reflecting on that, doing a lot of inward reflecting like yourself, I found, looking back, and I only realized this about myself recently, I was, because of how strong and avid the marketing was for the phone, I was propping up in my own mind justification for why I bought it, saying, no, Dave, this is good. No, this is good. Meanwhile, I was more excited in the line when I didn't have the phone compared to when I picked it up.
Yep. I feel the same way. I'm the same way with technology. Like, for instance, recently we ordered a new computer for the company. With the films we're doing, we needed something very powerful to do the 4K and be able to really expedite the process of exporting and all that stuff. So, but because it's such a powerful computer, we're waiting 2.5-3 months for it to arrive. The anticipation of this supercomputer is what I've dubbed it, is so exciting, but I know for a fact once I get it here, I'm going to pull it out of the box, plop it on a table, and just start using it like I use anything else. Like there's nothing exciting about it once you get it.
Then you'll probably wake up the next morning and then, you know, have your coffee, your breakfast, look at the computer and go, and not in a bad way, or maybe not even in a good way either, I waited 3 months for this.
Yeah. Well, in all honesty, I waited. It's not even for me. I waited 3 months for it for my guys because, the computer I'm using right now is perfectly fine for what I do, podcasting. But when we're doing films, it's a whole other game. And so this thing is going to be it's going to be great for the guys using it. Like, I'll be using it, but like they're going to be using it the way it's supposed to be used. So it's more of like a gift to my guys. But to this idea here though, with the CERN and the cryptids and all that stuff, and you said of how it's all connected. It really is. I'm like I've mentioned this several times. I talked about it on Sam Tripoli's show. Like, I'm starting a brand new podcast. I'm working on the logistics of how we're going to actually form it and everything. I think it's going to be a seasonal type show, but, I came across a story that is literally I feel like I found the centerpiece of this puzzle that all this other stuff plugs into, and it's absolutely crazy, but it's all connected. And I want to say this too. Where I live in Tennessee, right outside Knoxville, I'm not far from a place in Tennessee called Oak Ridge, which is a particle accelerator, just like CERN on a smaller level. And I've run into people who work there. In fact, somebody that works there at a very high position there lives in my neighborhood. I've met people who work there. I gotta be careful because I don't know how much he wants me to say. I want, because he's probably going to come on the show at some point. He's a friend of mine now. But let's just put it this way: he was hired to be a sniper at Oak Ridge, and I said, "What are you sniping?" And he's like, "Things that come out of portals." And I thought he was kidding. Until I talked to him this past weekend at a birthday party that we met up at again. And he's like, "No, I was serious." And I was like, "What? Do you know who you're talking to, man? Like, you're killing me." But
can I just say very quickly, yeah. Tony, this speaks to the concept of split realities with respects to, again, when people say, "Oh, realities are splitting." Well, everyone's like, "What? I don't get it. It's supposed to be something, you know, coming from the sky, splitting us up or whatever." We're seeing it in motion right now. People talk about Project Bluebeam. I think we're experiencing Project Bluebeam, yes. If you want my honest opinion. This speaks to that. Yeah.
Can you tell people real quick what Project Bluebeam is, just in case they haven't heard of it? Because I know this whole show is spawned by somebody who didn't know what CERN was.
Sure. Sure. This and again, Mr. Alvarez, I think. Not trying to laugh at you, sir.
No, not at all.
Bluebeam. First off, the Project Blue Book was something started by the Air Force shortly after World War II, which was to investigate, you know, the UFO and all this kind of stuff. And they said they found nothing. Don't worry about it. They shut it down, yada, yada. That's a whole other freaking conversation.
Yeah, they shut down MK Ultra too. They shut down MK Ultra too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what MK Ultra is now called? Life.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't need a project name. It is the project.
Right? So, anyways, project of life.
Right. Bluebeam, for example, the reason it was called that, as I understand it, I could be wrong, but it was that people always saw blue beams emitting from the craft when they abducted cattle or, you know, people or this or that, whatever. And Project Blue Book, was an Air Force investigation. And then over the years, there was this, you could say, rumor, scuttlebutt, as they call it, talk about something called Project Blue Beam, which was emitting a holographic a simulation or emulation of a bunch of craft, or even Jesus, the second coming of Christ, or something like this, entering the planet in order for the military industrial complex to justify a fear based narrative to limit the rights of the people. That's generally the gist of it, as I understand it. Please tell me, Tony, if I missed anything, but
no, you're right.
That's as I understand it. That's Blue Beam. That's the speculation of it. People say, you know, again, Dave, do you rule that out? Here's the thing. There's an academic paper by Gilles Riviere, a PhD, called Holographic Morphogenetics Structuring of Our 12-Strand DNA. In pure theory, and I don't mean to be a smartass here, in pure theory, just like the CIA documents, which we can debate on if it's accurate or not, we're living in a hologram that then provides, again, bioreceptive feedback to our nervous system that then tells our brain in a neural sense from an electromagnetic pulsation perspective that what I'm holding is physical, what I'm touching, you know, where I am right now is all that there is. So in theory, that's why I say we're living in Bluebeam. I would dare to argue that we're living in a holographic substrate type reality. Now, I could be very wrong. Let me be clear. But when I look at some of the, like, okay, I'll bring up one last thing. I brought this up on the Twitter spaces last night as well. When we look for people talk about, oh, you know, human DNA manipulation and alteration, oh, and people that dismiss it and say it's nonsense. Well, let me ask you this, not to you, Tony, because I'm sure you'd agree with me here, but GMOs, genetically modified foods, for example, that's not a conspiracy. That's a known thing. You go to farmers, they know all this. Why would that, if let's just scale that up. in fractals, right? Let's macro, micro, let's scale that up. Why would or could that not have been applied in a classified program, underground, literally or metaphorically or both, to attempt to be done on humans? I mean, you have, for example, someone by the name of Michael Levin. Recently, he's the guy with the xenobots and all of that, or the xenofrogs or that kind of stuff. He talks about how it's of his understanding. There seems to be, from an at least an electrical perspective, some type of underlying blueprint to our reality that seems to understand archetypally. This speaks even to the Jungian archetypes, that there's a face. There has to be a bipedal formation of, which is why Sasquatch is bipedal. Humanoid, two arms, two legs. Gray aliens are bipedal. It's sort of like when you enter a video game, isn't it? You have to conform to the code of that video game. You can't take a Call of Duty player and throw him into Grand Theft Auto. It's not going to work. You need to conform to the code of Grand Theft Auto. So that's where I go there.
Wow. Project Bluebeam, let me just say this, because you said it's, you know, MK Ultra life, whatever, but Project Bluebeam is becoming life. I think we are seeing signs of them playing with it, and I think that they are trying to maybe condition the people. I don't know, but like we saw, I think right. It was a year or two ago. AOC, they projected AOC above the Capitol building, and it was an image of her crying at the border wall, and so like that kind of screams that to me. But on a more conspiratorial level, I had this idea and thought. So as somebody who is a Christian and comes from that theological foundation, growing up as not only just an evangelical Christian but a Pentecostal Christian, like there's different denominations, and so like I personally view myself theologically as a hybrid. I'm more reformed in certain areas, more Pentecostal in others. Anyway, we're not here for that. Anyways, to get to my point, I started thinking about this idea of, in the Bible it says how when Christ comes back, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And thinking about the logistical nightmare of that, you know, on a global scale, and I started thinking things about like how, you know, okay, well, we have the internet today, so it could be pretty instantaneous. Like, I mean, we just had, if people don't know, we just, like yesterday, the Congo and UN had a interaction, and there's these Congonian people, probably about a dozen, standing at a town gate, and the UN vehicles were on the other side, and they were protesting, and all of a sudden, UN just lit them up and fired at them and killed. They officially say two people. I'm seeing reports of around 10 or more people dead, but I saw pictures of like a 7 to 8 year old with a bullet hole in his side. And so like The UN peacekeepers lit up these civilians, and that was instantaneous. It happened immediately. Like at least I saw it with the sources I'm tuned in. And you're not going to hear about it on Fox News or CNN, I'm sure. But so I was like, okay, so the logistics of it, maybe that, but then, how do you get around the idea of this what would be called a rapture, where the Christ comes and he takes his people with him, right? This resurrection and all that. Right. And I started thinking about Project Bluebeam and how we already have a functioning arm of the government called the media, and that's filled with propaganda. And people, it's to the point that people are they know they're being brainwashed, and they still accept it. They still understand.
There seems to be, this speaks to, forgive me for cutting you off. Yeah, this speaks to even what we were saying just under an hour ago at the beginning regarding even in academia. You're a physicist, stay in your lane, F you. It gets that emotional rile up for me. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that's what CNN Chris Cuomo said years ago when the WikiLeaks were happening and stuff. He said to the audience, he said, this isn't safe for you to read. It's safe for us to read. We'll read it and we'll tell you what's in it. That's what he said on air. And so it goes to that idea that it's like, stay in your lane. And I don't do good with that. So anyways, so I started thinking about that, and I started thinking, you know what? I could see this actually happening, where it's a merger of propaganda and technology to pull this off, where Christ doesn't come back. So like actually, you know what? Let's actually reverse this. There's different ways to think about it. So let's just say Christ does come back, and there's this rapture, this taking of the people of the Christian faith. And the day after, let's call it the day after, then you have an entire world left to explain what just happened. And we see this whole push with the acknowledgement of UFOs and the possible of extraterrestrial life form or interdimensionalism. Like, I literally could see them saying that that wasn't Jesus Christ. That was actually an extraterrestrial that came and took all the bigot Christian racist people from this earth. And now we can ascend humanity to another level through transhumanism. Like, I
got something. I got a question. I got a question you can ask your DOE guy if he agrees to ever come on the show. I was looking at, and this speaks to what you just said here. I was looking at a 2016, this is public information, anyone can look this up, congressional appropriations budget for the Department of Energy for fiscal year 2016. And one of the, and this is one of those things where you look at, it's like many pages, 70 something pages, and it's obviously the one of those packages that Congress just signs off on, which again speaks to the, they say not deliberate, but I think low-key deliberate disconnect between policymakers and the intelligence world. But anyway, that's a different conversation. But because if you get leverage on these politicians and anyways, you control them, the whole thing. But the point is that on that list of the appropriations budget, fiscal year 2016 was event cloning at exascale. What does that mean? Here's the thing. When classified projects or programs are disseminated into an appropriations budget to be able to be signed off on by policymakers, it's almost as if they're keeping it vague because of how much it encompasses, isn't it? You see what I'm saying? Event cloning at exascale. Now, there's one other thing as well that I found quite interesting, which is that pertaining to the concept of consciousness, I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't claim to know what it is or, you know, what it's made up of, or I'm not going to sit here and be like, I know what consciousness is. No, but I've been pondering an idea from a paranormal perspective that I think you and your audience will resonate and appreciate, which is imagine. Okay. So we know, for example, that when you have a hacker that penetrates, say, for example, say a hacker is trying to hack into the CIA server. What the CIA will allegedly do, I got to say allegedly, but what the CIA will allegedly do is for counterintelligence purposes, they won't kick the hacker out of the server. That's probably the dumbest thing you could do. Why? Because you want to see what they're looking for, because then that will tell you their interests and who they're reporting back to and all of this. They'll transfer the hacker in real time without the hacker knowing or realizing from the server to a bullshit server with BS info and let them dig around for as long as they want.
Wow.
Hold on a second. Could that be done with consciousness?
Wow. Wow. I don't see why not. I don't see why not.
Well, and then correlate that with the appropriations budget, data-driven information, I'm not just pulling this out of my ass, with event DOE, event cloning at exascale. What the heck does that mean? Could that have anything to do with potentially CERN and the correlation between the overlapping of Mandela effect experiences? I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just asking the question. I mean, and I'm not trying to be that type of person that deliberately, you know, stirs the pot and goes, I'm just asking questions. I'm not trying to be that guy. But I look at that. I'm going to call a spade here, brother, for you and your audience. But I look at that and I say, well, it hasn't been disproven, but it hasn't been proven either. So that's something that I personally, we explore this on the, on our Patreon as well. This is something as well. We leave it on the table until there's enough data to take it off.
Yeah. And I think that's,
maybe there never will be, who knows?
I mean, in all honesty, I hope not, because if everything's taken off the table, I'm out of a job. So
dude, you know, what scares me actually, believe it or not, the concept that there are certain people in the world that think and believe that, and I'm not trying to, I'm just talking even about the average person, that all they know is they feel all they anyone ever needs to know. That's what scares me. What scares me is not the unknown. What scares me is the known. Knowing that you're going to wake up the next day and do the same thing over and over again. That's what scares me. For me, the exploration side of it is the fun part.
Yes.
That's, you see what I'm saying?
Dude, yeah. I'm the same way. It, like, in such a real sense. And I'm going to steer this back to Oak Ridge here in a second, but I want to comment on that. Like, I can't tell you And maybe not everybody feels this way, because I really do think that there are some people who are just, you know, they're like, this is where my life landed. I'm happy here and I'm fine doing. But for me, especially as an extroverted person who always had a deep sense of, hey, I want to kind of be an impactful person in this world. Driving a tractor trailer for 12 to 14 hours a day alone in my truck was not fulfilling. And knowing every day I was going to wake up before my family woke up, go to work, drive alone all day long, come home when my family's in bed sleeping already, and not having a communication or contact with my family or the people in this world was not an option for me. And that's
something is taking the joy, to your point, something's taking the joy away from the journey.
Yes.
Something's moving it.
Like exactly, like the joy was way gone. And I honestly can't express to the audience how grateful I am to be given a platform with the podcast where I feel like my life's goal, my inward motivations of my life have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled through these platforms and the podcasting and filmmaking. Like I can't express how dead I was before I started podcasting. I was a dead human.
And I also say too, I want to thank you, Tony, and I'm not trying to kiss your ass because I'm on your show, but in the sense of the same way somebody drops a rock into a pond and it ripples, this ripple effect could be done in a positive manner. So I want to thank you, and I want to thank your audience, man, because unfortunately in the next minute or two, I got to get going, but I want to thank you and your audience for not just you, Tony, for having me on, but for your audience being able to take the time to not just, of course, support Tony here, but to be able to listen to what Tony is providing. Genuinely, that's in my opinion, that's the value. That's worth more than any financial currency of any kind. So right, thank you.
So, all right, let me just say this quick story and then we'll get you out of here. Oak Ridge is where they designed the nuclear bomb that was used in World War II. And the guy I bought my cow off of, yes, I have a cow, but not a live cow, a dead cow. I was hungry it's in the freezer now. But the guy I bought the cow off of, I was talking about what I do. And he said, growing up around here, talking to old timers, that they, when they were building Oak Ridge, they were seeing a lot of these white Bigfoot creatures in this area. And it kind of goes to what you were talking about with the Bigfoot and these creatures being seen in these military areas in Pennsylvania, where I came from, all across Pennsylvania, North Pennsylvania, east to west into Ohio, a white Bigfoot was being seen. And I strongly believe that there is a deep underground military base in the Allegheny National Forest of Pennsylvania. And so it kind of goes to this whole idea of this, at least Bigfoot, if not white Bigfoot, being possibly not just a natural creature, but something that was brought in by these organizations, maybe as some kind of physical/spiritual guardian to these stargates or whatever.
You know, do you want me to add to, if I can further that very quick?
If you got time, I'm fine.
Sure. I got like a minute and a half, then I got a jet. But I will say in a very respectful manner, this is something that on patreon.com/generationz we pursue often. And for those that say, well, what do you, you know, how do you get around the censorship on Patreon? We use currently Dropbox shareable links until I'm able to save up enough, you know, for a website and all of this kind of stuff. But the point is we've been exploring this concept or idea of when you look, for example, at the Nazca lines, not the ley lines, the Nazca lines are identical to the Orion constellation. And not only that, but they're also identical to the alleged deep underground military base map of North America. They lock in over top each other. And not only that, but they're also allegedly identical. And I say this very carefully because this is when it starts to get a little iffy, but identical to the Nazi death camps. And that would speak to Operation Paperclip, how, you know, the Soviets got the telekinesis and the parapsychology and the extrasensory perception guys. The Americans got the materials and propulsion knowledge, science-based guys, Wernher von Braun, Hermann Oberth, that, all of that. But what I find quite peculiar is they all lock in, almost as if there's some type of esoteric, non-physical entity that is entities, maybe, that are using physical tools like CERN to continue some type of operation, for better or worse, is not for me to say. I don't know. But to your point, and Bigfoot, Sasquatch, all over the place. I have my own theories on that too. But yeah.
All right. So all right. Real last question. Are we living in Stranger Things? How real is Stranger Things?
My humble opinion, and again, we go into this very extensively on patreon.com/generationz. I think Stranger Things is a scaled back version.
Yes.
To tell you.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I was just live on Instagram today before you and I recorded. I was in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A. God bless Chick-fil-A. And I was telling people that very thing. I was telling them, listen, you watch Stranger Things, that's normal compared to what we actually are in right now. Like the world we live in right now is far more strange than what they're portraying.
The quote-unquote normal world is the conspiracy.
Yes.
In my opinion.
You're speaking my love language right now. I love it. Listen, I know you got to go. Tell the people where they can find you again so they can fall in love with you and the show.
Thank you so much, man. Because of some of the stuff that we touch on content-wise, I can be found at Generation Z Podcast, ZED, podcast at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, and of course YouTube. And the more specifically, we go much, much more deeper into all of this on patreon.com/generationz. We do, not only from a content perspective, we have a unique series. We bring in people esoteric based, nuts and bolts based, philosophical based, archetypally based, paranormal, Bigfoot, all of this stuff. We do our best to bring in every piece of that metaphorical pie, astrology, all of this. But we also do 2 to 4 times per week group Zoom calls where we basically just do what we're doing now and just sort of like a, you know, open forum think tank. There's a lot of stuff on there that I will never put on the YouTube. So we have 3 different packages, $4, $8, $12 bucks a month. You see stuff, you know, days, sometimes weeks before they go public as well, when they do go public. And again, patreon.com/generationz. And I truly, Tony, from the bottom of my heart, man, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing some knowledge with the people. Hopefully this educated some of the people as to what CERN is. They probably have a lot more questions now, but we can save them for another time. Listen, man, I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much, man.
Well, that's sure, buddy. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. I don't care where or how you share the show. Just share the show if you enjoyed it, because that's the best thing you can do to help the show grow. Share the show. And also, if you want, go ahead and leave that 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, if you so choose, or your podcast playing app of choice. That helps as well, but not as much as you just sharing the show. And we greatly appreciate that, friends. All right. I hope you guys have a great week moving forward. And until next week, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. And it's been pissing a lot of people off recently. Bye. Broken, but ain't no breaking us all. Yeah.
with Jesus, I'm a chimera. Looking at these golden years flying by, by fair force.
They cutting it off of the food too. Analytics, they used to recruit you. War's a pending assess on your son's too.
They don't want the individual, just a carbon copy. You spitting that manicotti, yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. I'm a kamikaze, got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spin up at the center of the next is me.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.